Hello, good people! Welcome to our show! By the way, I don't want to discriminate bad people. Welcome to our show! Anyone who wanna learn more about SEO, AI, digital marketing, welcome! Today we are going to discuss more about local SEO. It's very important to optimize your websites right, especially today when we have AI, many things are changing, so we are going to discuss more about local SEO and AI, how you can get results today in Google and even AI search. I'm so excited to discuss this topic with Dan Thompson. How are you?
Good. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Oh, big pleasure. I remember we had a great episode over 2 years ago, but many things change. We need to update everything that we can share with our audience. Dan, I know you about your great experience in pay-per-click, SEO, digital marketing. Can you remind our listeners and new listeners who can listen or watch this episode about your experience, background, and anything that can help to learn more about you?
So I run a small boutique digital marketing agency. So we basically do three things. I think we do them pretty well. We do Google Ads, local SEO, and web design and web development.
Okay, that's cool. So what I can see today, when you have focus in specific niche, you can get higher results and can provide better results, especially when all niches are overwhelmed, overpriced. Can you tell how you can mix such channels like pay-per-click, SEO, and design to get great results?
Yeah, I think that I think for most local businesses, that's most of the time where, and again, I speak specifically about local businesses. Obviously, if you're in e-commerce or even, something that provides national services, it's a little bit different. But I think generally speaking, that tends to be sort of the foundation is, you need a website that works, that converts. You need SEO that drives leads and PPC that also helps to drive leads. So I think generally speaking, they play nice with one another. And I do find that, especially with SEO and Google Ads, obviously other paid channels as well. What typically happens is as the brand grows, and again, this is true, whether it's a national brand or a local brand, as the brand grows, SEO gets easier and easier. So, the bigger the brand is. So when we have someone that comes to us and they're already, they're already one of the top three plumbers in, their city, it's like, okay, this is easy. This is, we're going to be able to get these guys from, the third spot to the first spot or whatever, expand that map pack, drive more leads, et cetera. Where it tends to be more difficult is when you have no brand presence and you're just starting and Google doesn't trust you. And the LLMs don't trust you. And so you don't get mentioned anywhere. And so that's always where it's a little bit more of a grind. And I find that PPC certainly can help with building up, it's essentially a bit of a flywheel where you get more leads, you get more reviews, you rank higher. So you get more leads, so you get more reviews, so you rank higher. And that's kind of over time, you sort of build that snowball. And that's kind of, I think, where PPC can really help with SEO local SEO. And there's certainly some markets that where we look at and go, hey, local SEO isn't a good fit here, but Google Ads is, or vice versa, depending on the cost per click, depending on how competitive the market is, et cetera.
What do you think? Can pay-per-click can help SEO to get higher ranking positions? Because I check out different studies about that, and someone can say it can help, it can boost this organic reach. I mean, like when people open your website, can show some good user experience, if it's really good, and it's indirect factor that can push your forward, your project forward. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's an indirect ranking factor in the sense that you get more clicks, Google ends up getting more click data, which obviously we saw they're using, they get more user metrics, things of that nature. And again, as more people start searching your brand, because, if you're spending and paid and you have someone that's, hey, you acquired a customer a year ago and now they're coming back to you and they're searching for your brand again for whatever reason, whether it's, they need a new hot water tank and now they need, their sink or their sewer line repaired or whatever it is. That type of exposure just helps you rank higher, because certainly branded search is one of the areas I think in the last, I would say, it's probably been a factor for longer than maybe I would give it credit for, but certainly it's something that's popping up more and more. in terms of, and certainly seems to have more weight. You know, it's always been a case where the bigger your brand was, and again, a lot of times what people would associate that with is the domain authority. But the part that kind of gets missed is how many people are actually searching for your brand. And that's, again, something like, you know, Google Ads can certainly put you in front of more customers, which gives you the opportunity to be searched more.
Yeah, I agree. And I think indirect factor sometimes can be more impactful than direct factor. You know,
For sure.
Yeah, if you have great products, if your content is outstanding, and people can recommend your content, even to recommend to specific groups, friends, or put links, share. So it can help a lot, you know, to get results. So, but marketing doesn't help bad products anyway. It doesn't matter. So then let's forget about SEO and pay-per-click. I want to discuss about new thing that everyone today discuss about GEO, Generative Engine Optimization. What do you think about local SEO? Do we need to optimize for GEO today? If we need, what we need to do?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. It's something that we probably get asked three times a week by clients on various calls. Like, it comes up all the time. And again, it doesn't matter if they're, you know, a national brand or a local company. You know, it's obviously on their radar and they're hearing about it. And what ends up happening is you kind of get these, I wouldn't say they're outlier cases, but you get these instances. Like, we had one of our clients, a window company. He's like, yeah, someone told me the other day they found me on ChatGPT. And, you know, how can we show up higher for that? And that's kind of a question we're getting more, you know, more and more of. And I would say the one thing that I think is probably, I guess, important to remember, and again, this may change in 3 or 5 years, I have no idea, but the Google Map Pack tends to be such an invaluable invaluable data source in terms of, there's no other collection of data on the internet that has anywhere near as much accurate business information for local businesses. So naturally, you know, if you're in, and you can even see, like, if you're in AI mode in Google and you search in a local query, it'll be like, you know, searching the web, and the next thing it'll say, you know, scraping the map pack, or I can't remember the exact terminology, but and so they're using those map pack results, and they want to see, again, you know, reviews are extremely important. And what we typically see is if you're ranking well in the map pack for those local terms, you're probably ranking well in, you know, the various language models, whether it's, you know, ChatGPT or Google AI mode or whatever it might be, Perplexity. Typically, they correlate pretty well. And maybe, I don't know, this is probably honestly something that you're probably more well-versed in. I haven't found a particularly good tool for tracking that because of how much search has changed in terms of the long tail, right? Like, when I'm in ChatGPT or I'm using Google AI mode, you know, and I'm searching for something, I'm no longer searching for a plumber near me. I'm searching something like, hey, I'm in Calgary. You know, my hot water tank broke. Can you recommend a few plumbers? Yeah. And so that's like, that's a really long query, right? And so it's like, to track all those individuals, I mean, how many, you know, those individual queries, it becomes fairly challenging. So that's something that we're certainly keeping an eye on and trying to figure out, like, okay, how do we actually demonstrate visibility in the various LLMs? You know, so yeah, I think that's kind of one of these interesting challenges that we're sort of, you know.
You know, I like to read these new tutorials, guides, how to optimize for GEO. You know, every single day, many marketers can say, oh, I found the secret how to get results there. Yeah. But according to data, 70% of all these results are changing in 2-3 months. So basically, even if you can find out this complex algorithm, how to rank any content on ChatGPT or Gemini or any other tool, you need to understand that each time that you ask even the same question on the same model, you can get different answers.
Yeah.
So, and these things are growing much faster than any update on Google. Google might have like core updates, but small updates, but these things are changing much faster. In AI search. And for me, my personal opinion about that, it's better to forget about optimization. Yeah, you need to think about some small optimization if you understand some small things that can help, but it's better to understand the foundation of AI search. So AI search wanna recommend the best human content. So it serves human. And for example, if you write an article how to fix, I don't know, I mean like plumbing or anything like that. So you need to understand that ChatGPT can reply to this question without any help. Why AI search needs to share any links if Perplexity, Gemini can reply to this question? Probably for trust issue. But for me, I mean like you need to think which links AI can recommend. So for example, if it's blog article, no way. For what? What is the reason? If it's something valuable, yeah, sure. Then it's better to create such content that AI search can recommend and think more about human psychology, about the foundation. Because for me, like, algorithm was temporary replacement of old marketing. You know, human psychology. Why people consume any content? Why they buy some products, you know, storytelling, anything like that. And optimization tips replaced temporary. Today, as you mentioned, that people can ask longer questions and probably keyword research will be that, like in a few years, probably 5-10 years. I don't know. It's tough to predict, but for now, what we can see when we have this AI mod, people started to ask long questions, and Google can tell about that, that people are asking today long questions because before that, Google couldn't share great answers to long questions, and today AI can do it. So, yeah.
No, for sure. And I think that's why we're seeing, like, you know, I think we've seen sort of an influx of SEOs into the local market, because it is the one area where at the end of the day, you either need a number or you need a link, whether it's, you know, a number to call again. Because, you know, it's like, and it's actually, I was going to say, AI can't fix your plumbing. Sometimes it can. Sometimes it's like you can search the problem and you can fix it yourself. Yeah. But for, you know, guys like me who aren't going to pick up a wrench, I'm still calling the plumber. And that's kind of where we try to focus. Yeah. Is, again, you know, trying to make sure that, again, we're just driving, whether it's through, you know, Gemini or ChatGPT or Google or the local map pack, whatever it is, making sure that for our customers, it's, hey, you know, you're showing up on those platforms when someone's looking to pick up the phone and call a plumber, you know, or call an HVAC guy, or, you know, they're looking for whatever it is, right? So certainly the informational queries, as you mentioned, there's no need for, for someone to click through to a link to, you know, fix a faucet, because ChatGPT is going to give you a better answer.
Yeah, yeah. And I like one research online. It's tough to pronounce this name. It's a Turkish name from a great an SEO expert who found Perplexity algorithm that was leaked. And he shared like 59 Perplexity algorithms. And what I analyzed that, and I found that it's old Google algorithms, you know, nothing special about that. So Perplexity, is scanning online, indexing, and then rank content according to their freshness, authority, topical authority. So basically, it's the same, you know, nothing special. Yeah. And all these AI models can just regenerate all this content in another format to reply to specific question, you know. So, by the way, I have this question about authority, especially local SEO. For example, if new plumbers want to jump in specific niche, let's imagine Toronto or Vancouver, any other city. So it's very competitive, extremely competitive. Big companies, plumbers with authority, what newcomers need to do, you know, to outrank big players?
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to, and plumbing is such an interesting niche, because that's usually one of those spaces where PPC isn't even really an option, because the clicks are so expensive that they get, you know, drowned out by the larger companies who are, you know, they have whatever 8% of their revenue, let's say, to spend on marketing, and you know, they're going to spend it. And, you know, a lot of times that's going to end up just basically burying the little guys in terms of being able to run, you know, a profitable Google Ads campaign. That's not to say it can't be done, but certainly in the bigger markets, it tends to be more challenging. you know, if you're a brand new plumbing company, and actually we just started working with a company who's their brand new heating and air conditioning company, same thing, incredibly competitive. You know, you get the, like you get the website built out, and it's almost a case now where the website supports the Google business page and not the other way around. You know, historically, I think organic rankings, let's say you go back 5 years, ranking number one organically was incredibly, you know, like the most valuable position. Now it's a case where trying to expand that map pack out is far more valuable, especially for a new business, because that's where the playing field gets leveled. And mainly because of proximity. So, you know, if I'm sitting in my, if I'm sitting outside my business and I search for that, you know, that type of business, let's say I'm standing outside Saltwater Digital, I search for digital marketing company near me, we're going to show up because we're so close to where that person is. It's particularly true for even more local services like plumbers and HVAC companies and things like that. And so you get the proximity factor, which has a massive benefit in terms of, hey, you're a new business, but you're still close to these people, so we're going to rank you. And then also the other kind of equalizer is reviews, because yes, the total review count matters. But in my opinion, it's as important, if not more important, as link velocity, or sorry, review velocity. So, you know, how many reviews are you generating a month? And so if, you know, plumbing company A has 1,000 reviews, but they're generating one a month, and they've just been around for 30 years, plumbing company, you know, B has 100 reviews, but they're generating 15 reviews a month, they're probably actually going to show up pretty similarly. You know, maybe not quite as well as plumbing company A, because they've been, you know, they've got the domain, they've got the domain age, they've got the Google business page age, they've got way more reviews, but that review velocity can make a huge difference as well. So, you know, I think step one is, yes, you build out a really good website. Step two is you build out a really good Google business page, and you make sure you're active on that, and you're making sure you're driving reviews. And that's kind of where, like, you know, you're going to find the, especially in the high pay-per-click markets, that's where you're going to find, you know, the least expensive leads. And it's not particularly close. You know, we have, like, I'm thinking about a report, like one of the reports we sent over. We have a company that we've built out sort of a custom dashboard for. And, you know, it shows all their leads by month and how much revenue those leads have produced. And the Google business page is by far and away their most valuable asset. Like, it's not even close. It's like their Google business page, and then I think it's pay-per-click, and then it's direct, and then it's organic, and then it's, you know, Facebook, Instagram, et cetera. And of course, there, you know, there's certainly instances where that's not the case, but I think for probably 80% of companies that are local, that's where they're, you know, that's where they're going to be able to get traction, especially early.
Yeah. And I remember when I checked one case study that plumbing clients usually don't search a lot. I mean, like, if you have leaking in your home, you will take the first proposition that you can find.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you guys are open and they have a phone number? Awesome. Yeah, totally.
You save my house. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Turns out no one wants, you know, 2 inches of water in their basement. So that's a pretty hair on fire problem.
Yeah. You mentioned about building a very good website. Can you clarify what it means? I mean, especially, you know, the structure, and do we need to have blog for this website? I mean, like for local SEO and plumbing, for example.
Yeah, the blog is something that I, you know, depending, it is client dependent. I do think there still is some value for some clients. I do find that, you know, the one area where it can provide a lot of value is if you're hyper niche. Mm-hmm. You know, like, let's say you're a company that only does hot water tanks. And again, I'm talking about plumbing lots. Most of our clients aren't plumbers, but anyways, for whatever reason, it's always the one that I always talk about. You know, let's just say you only do hot water tanks. You know, if you can basically build out a site that's got, you know, service area for sure. So you have your service pages, your location pages. So, hey, here's the areas, you know, here's all this kind of the cities we serve in this area. And then you have all the services, which is going to be things like, you know, hot water tank replacement, hot water tank repair, tankless hot water tank replacement, tankless hot water, you know, so on and so forth. So you got all your services really well cataloged. You know, bonus points if you actually have like the products, because a lot of those, like, for instance, this is specific to a plumbing, but you know, a lot of plumbers only install, say, 3 or 4 types of tankless hot water tanks or water heaters. So you get, you know, services, products, locations, And then in that case, I think a blog can be helpful to support that content in terms of showing, hey, like, we're real serious about hot water tanks and we don't do anything else. The broader you get, I think the less valuable it is. Because at the end of the day, as you said, like for a plumber, even before ChatGPT, let's just say, you know, someone's searching how to DIY, a kitchen sink repair or whatever, or, you know, a drain cleaning or whatever. Even if they happen to land on your website, the odds of that person being, from an informational query, the odds of that person being in your city and actually calling you are basically zero. So from that perspective, it's like, it's not really driving business for you anyways. So I think even before ChatGPT and, you know, Gemini and the AI tools came out, I don't think there was that much value unless you were explicitly providing something that's kind of really unique.
Yeah.
Whether or specific to an area or business. Like, for instance, one of the things we do like to do is like cost pages. A lot of businesses don't like putting their pricing. But if you can put that on your website, that's awesome, because that will often actually get cited. We had a jet ski rental company, and that was one of the things. Like, we basically just built a page for pricing. Like, this is how much it costs. And it was a specific blog post on pricing. They already had pricing on their website at this point, but we basically just had a blog post on how much it costs to rent a jet ski in X city. And it just basically listed out the prices hourly, you know, different models, blah, blah, blah. And that was getting cited by in AI overviews. That was getting cited by ChatGPT when people would search, you know, how much does it cost to rent a jet ski in this city? Because that's the type of query that someone's actually going to punch that someone's going to search in those types of platforms, because they're no longer looking for how much does it cost to rent a jet ski. They want to know in that specific city, and there's enough information, and, you know, the data can be synthesized now where you can actually get that answer back. Whereas before, it was probably kind of hit or miss. So we don't put a lot of emphasis on it, if I'm being honest, in terms of the blog posts. Generally something that is down the road. You know, if we kind of get the campaign rolling, we can use it to help support some of the commercial pages, and to sort of, you know, again, help, just provide more authority and trust to that website.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more with that, because you mentioned that you don't need, I mean, like, having blog for the sake of having it, it's a bad idea. So, I remember someone asked me about that. Do I need to have a blog? I told, no, you don't need it. He replied, why? Because you are asking about that. If you know how to write, if you have skills to write, you know, if you can bring something new to the table, sure, of course, go ahead. It doesn't matter. You know, can you get traffic on ChatGPT, Google, or at any other place? You know, if it's your skill, you know, you can win at any environment. For example, I write for my blog because I can get a lot of engagement from my LinkedIn newsletter. 40,000 sure. People can read my newsletter, so I don't care a lot about SEO traffic. For me, like, in AI era, probably blog posts will become like an extra channel. You know, not now, today it still bring a lot of traffic, but in the future, I'm not sure about that. We'll see. But yeah. If you have experience to write, if you know how to write, if you love it, you know, it doesn't matter. It will bring value. If you want to do it for the sake of having it, no, ChatGPT will write better than you.
I totally agree. I think it'll be interesting, because there will be, you know, I think as fewer people do produce content and more people are using ChatGPT, I think that does actually create an avenue for, if you're going to add new insights or, you know, add, you know, nuance to that you can provide that, you know, not everybody else has already provided. And that's kind of sort of the bar, right? And and it'll probably get easier to clear that bar, because more and more people will turn to these, whether it's Claude or ChatGPT or any of the writing tools, like, the, you know, again, they're regurgitating a lot of the same information over and over and over again. Right. Yeah. And so when you can kind of provide something fresh or new, it's certainly, as you said, you're not really writing for the sake of SEO at that point. You're writing because you can, you know, if you have other distribution channels.
And I cooperate with many writers, but all of them pay attention to specific niche. So basically, if you ask me, for example, to write any article about weight loss, I can't, because it's not my main topic. I had my personal experience to lose weight, but that was personal. I can't teach others, you know, so sure. Each case is different. Yeah. But I can write about digital marketing SEO because I live with that, you know. So if sure. you do something all the time, so you can become an expert. But if you write about specific niches, I cooperate with others. So, and I use one great method. I don't hire people on Upwork. I don't know if someone can get results with Upwork or similar platforms. I usually search for bloggers offers in specific blogs. Yeah. I usually search for popular blogs. All these popular blogs have offers who wrote articles. Then I check out if some offers have organic reach. If they have it, then I reach out to them and propose, okay, let's cooperate. And personally, I don't care. Do they use AI or not? You know, today it doesn't matter. It's better if they can bring quality, because if you have experience, you can ask the right questions on ChatGPT. You can edit in results, so you can bring sure. quality. So for me, AI detection doesn't play a huge role today. You know,
sure.
quality. You know, I don't think that users can ask. It's AI written or human written. You know, they want to get quality. You know, value from your content. Sure. So yeah. Okay, then let's speak about citations. You know, I think like in local SEO, it's important. We have different tools like Moz, SEMrush, WhiteSpark, many others, you know, that can help with citations. Do we need to just rely on one tool, or it's better to provide extra job manually to find extra more catalogs and put links there? What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I kind of have two thoughts on this. So the first thing is, yes, I still think that they're valuable and can help play a part in terms of helping local businesses rank. The value of citations has decreased over the years. Like, and I think it's WhiteSpark that puts out the kind of like the yearly Google Business page ranking factors, and then, you know, pull a whole bunch of local SEOs, and you can see like the citations continues to go down. Now, obviously, that's not you know, Google saying that, but it seems that seems to be the case. And that's kind of what we've, you know, seen anecdotally as well. I do think there is value in building them. You know, they're easy links to build. They, you know, not all of them will get indexed, but a bunch of them will get indexed. The one hang up I always have on citations is this idea that you need your NAP consistency. I just think that kind of downplays how intelligent Google is, or how intelligent their systems are, any of the AI models. Like we get asked up quite often, like, oh, like my address is, you know, number 130, blah, blah, blah. What if I, you know, but on, you know, this particular on Yelp, it's address -130. It's like, I promise you, all you got to do is go take that address both ways and put it into Google and see if it shows the same address. If it does, there's a pretty good chance that it understands that it's the exact same address. Yeah. And going through and, you know, painstakingly correcting that. And it's the same thing with phone numbers too. We get that all the time. Google Ads uses rotating phone numbers. CallRail uses rotating phone numbers. You know, they're not expecting to see, and of course it's rotating so they can read the HTML and, you know, see like the proper phone number, I suppose. But as long as they lead to the business and it's not going to a dead number, to me, that is something that is just way blown out of proportion in terms of how important or valuable it is. I suspect that was one of those things that when search engines first came out, that was probably really important. So everything was consistent because they weren't smart enough to kind of figure out, oh, okay, this is actually the same business. Oh, this is, you know, such and such plumber Inc. is the same business as such and such plumber. It's like, it's the same business. They know that. You know, and sure, you know, it doesn't hurt to go through and clean them up, but I think it's one of those things that, as I said, kind of gets beat to death. And I get asked about it a fair amount too, which is kind of surprising. I think it's one of those things. And again, back to some of these, you know, AI prompts, if you type in something like what's important about local SEO in any of the AI prompts, I guarantee you every single one of them says NAP consistency. And it's like, you know, probably number three or number four. And you're just like, well, it's not really true anymore. It's just been true, you know, historically it was true, and that's where all, and it's just kind of one of these things, I think, almost like telephone, where it's like the data that, you know, it just keeps kind of getting brought up and brought up and brought up and brought up in every single article, because they're looking at other articles, even though it's not necessarily true, or, you know, doesn't actually hold a lot of weight, if any at all. So that's my ramble about citations, because as I said, like, it drives me nuts when people are like, oh, the address has to match exactly on every single place on the web. It's like, that's definitely not going to impact anything. So,
yeah. Okay, then what about link building? The most complex part in SEO, and I'm interested about local SEO. For example, citations. Okay, we understand how to build citations, but links are hard, you know, it's really hard. I mean, like if you use white hat SEO, it's really hard to get them, but especially for local SEO, you need to find out local resources. So my main question, do we need to build some authoritative backlinks from different regions, probably relevant, and or it's better to pay attention to local backlinks, and do we need to pay attention to relevant links in this local area?
Yeah, so I think if you were to say, okay, what's the best link that you can get for any local website? Mm-hmm. And again, this is resources aside. Let's say you had unlimited resources. What would you go out and build? Well, you'd probably go out and try to get a link from every single large news outlet in that area. Those are probably like top of the list. And then next might be, you know, local bloggers. But again, those are kind of few and far between now, the ones that are actually still kind of keeping, you know, a local blog where you can actually, you know, whether it's a paid placement or a guest post or whatever it might be. I still really like relevant links from industries. So for instance, like if you have two dentists, well, great, link those dentists together. I don't care if they're in the opposite side of the country. They're still both in the dental space. So I think it's like when you're looking at it, you know, again, the top of the pyramid of resources are not an option, like large news sites that are local to the city. And then the tier down from that is probably other businesses in the same city, in the same niche. That's probably like the second tier. And again, like those are almost impossible to build unless you happen to have a bunch of, you know, clients who are all in the same space, you know, in slightly, you know, adjacent cities or whatever, but geographically they're close. Then below that is probably, you know, if you can kind of get swaps from, you know, industry related, so the same business in different cities. And then, you know, the next one down is, yes, it's nice to have other local links, but again, they're kind of few and far between. The one that does stand out is certainly charities. Those are always like, you can actually find opportunities to get placements on local charities. And again, they're obviously local to the area, et cetera, so the locality of it is highly important. That actually might even be above, you know, other businesses that are in other cities. And then, of course, you kind of get down to, okay, now we're just niche relevant and we're no longer talking about like, you know, a specific business, you know, it's no longer on a business website. It's on just like a news website or it's on, you know, the blogger's website or whatever, but it's like, it's somewhat industry relevant. That's kind of the tier. Again, for local SEO, the reality is most of these companies don't have thousands of dollars a month to spend on links. It's, you know, there's very few, very, very, very few local companies that are spending massive amounts on link building, which is good and bad, because the good side is, okay, you don't actually need to acquire nearly as many links as you do to compete with other channels. The bad thing is, of course, you know, what the smaller the budget gets, you know, as you know, like link building scales tremendously well when you have a big budget and there's, you know, a ton of outreach going on and you have a ton of content being produced and you can kind of do the white hat approach. Most local companies don't have the budget to do that. So that's kind of one of those things, like if you can do it, great. But the reality is you probably don't have the resources. Either you don't have the expertise internally or you don't have the money to spend, you know, $3,000-$4,000 a month on these types of local links. So I said it's definitely one of the more challenging parts. Certainly to me is still very important. We do see, like, you know, a direct correlation between the companies that show up well, you know, in the large language models and, you know, their domain authority. We certainly see a direct correlation between companies that show up well in the map pack and their domain authority. Same thing with organic rankings. So that to me is still a fairly important ranking factor. You know, does that change? I don't know. I until they figure out a better way to kind of, you know, I guess rank the various websites, you know, again, whether we're talking about Google or Gemini or, you know, ChatGPT or whatever it might be, I think it's going to be something that's important.
Yeah. And what do you think about PR? For example, if you can publish some key studies, I don't know, online studies, and distribute among local journalists. What do you think? Is it working or not?
Brilliant. Yeah. Again, it's a budget thing for most of these companies.
Okay. Yeah.
It's typically if you're going to run a well done PR campaign, again, it's, you got to come up with the angles and you got to pitch the journalists. And typically, again, like if you're hiring a service to do that, especially on like, if you're hiring a local service to do it locally, you're probably in the tens of thousands. If you're hiring, you know, just general PR where it's like, okay, you're looking for PR across, you know, say the United States or Canada, like, okay, maybe you can run a campaign for, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000. But I think that does tend to be sort of the limiting factors. Again, most local companies, you know, their entire SEO budget might be, $1,000 a month or $700 a month or whatever it is. Right. And so it's like, there's not a ton of room there for like a ton of building. So it does tend to be a little bit tricky, but certainly, yes, it does work. Like we have a couple clients that have run PR campaigns, and again, not even local ones, just national, getting mentioned in, you know, various large news outlets, and certainly their ranking is dramatically improved. It's just a matter of, do you have the resources to do that, and are you kind of willing to take that, you know, risk, I suppose, the additional costs.
Yeah, of course, PR is expensive, especially if you want to get great results with PR.
Exactly right, because you got to really think about it, right? Again, it's not enough just to put up some random, you know, case study or whatever. You really got to think
of
about what's the angle here, you know, what's going to be enticing for a journalist to write about.
Yeah, something unique. It's very tough. I know from personal experience, because I remember when we paid $6,000 for one press release to write and distribute. $6,000. That was trading niche, very expensive, extremely expensive. But to get results, we needed 12 press releases a week. You know, so crazy money.
So we
count this number. And what we did differently. So I got it. I don't have this budget. It's like $70,000 a week, you know, just to pay for PR. And I spent some time to learn about PR distribution, about writing press releases. And I started to write myself. For the first 3 months, I got zero backlinks, zero mentions, nothing. I just write. No, nothing special. Everyone ignore me. Then after 3 months, when, you know, with consistency, you acquire some experience, you can provide something unique, you can craft, fail many times, every single day I failed. I kept sending these press releases. Then what we did, we had a team of writers who published content on Forbes, InvestorPage, a big website. So basically, we explained them, look, it's not blog post, you know, it's different. You need to provide fresh insights for media coverage in Forbes or Bloomberg style, just write on their style, share something that journalists usually share, you know, yeah. We teach them. So we spent too much time with that and failed like first 3 months. After 3 months, we got first. Small media coverage, very small with websites that probably didn't bring any value. But after 9 months, we got CNN, Forbes, InvestorPedia, big websites, Bloomberg, Yahoo, MSN, plus, I remember plus 100 big publications with domain rating in more than 90. So, you know, that was a big win. You know, and we count that we saved like plus $3 million, you know, with this PR campaign.
Yeah.
But how many times I failed, you know?
A lot of work, right? A lot of resources either way. It's a lot of money or a lot of time.
Of course. But it's everywhere. It doesn't matter. SEO, pay-per-click, you can fail many times. You can learn from your failure and think how you can adjust, how to provide something different, you know, to stand out from the rest. Many things, you know. So all digital marketing is hard. I want to know how someone can become an influencer on Instagram for a few days, you know, or on TikTok. It doesn't matter. You know, it takes time, even in paid marketing. You know, it's common thinking that in pay-per-click, you can get results for a few days. No, you can't. Create this landing page, learn your customers, stand out from the rest. And I know some projects lost $500,000 to get zero sales, you know. It's like $500,000 with zero sales because they thought it's simple. Oh, okay, I have huge budget, I have money, I can put all of them in paid marketing, and nothing after that. So yeah, I mean, like, of course it's better to learn, to test, to analyze, and it's normal, I mean, like, to lose some money in paid marketing to find out better solution. Then let's talk about the future. Can you share your prediction about the future? Don't worry about your dog. I think it's normal. Everyone can see.
my dog's losing it. I'm taking care of my neighbor's dog right now, and he's going nuts.
You know, your dog started to bark when we started to discuss about big budgets.
yeah, exactly. You got all worked up. Sorry about that. My fault.
It's okay. Oh. No, everyone can see it's real. You know, it's real. Real life conversation, not AI.
Yeah, exactly. We're here. Or my dogs.
We still have faces. We're still real. We'll see in the future. Probably two AI influencers can take this podcast, but for now, they are not ready yet.
Yeah, so, we're not quite there yet.
Yeah. Then, your prediction about the future in SEO, especially local. What do you think, like, what will happen in 5 years?
Oh man, I feel like I'm guessing at this point. You know, I feel like I'm just sort of along for the ride right now and just trying to figure out, you know, from year to year, what is it going to look like? As I mentioned, I think one of the things that is different from a local SEO perspective is that, you know, it's not so much about, it's never been about driving customers to the website for small businesses. You know, it doesn't really matter what type of business you are. Of course, you want more visitors on your website. That's everybody wants that. Everyone likes that metric. But at the end of the day, it's about, you know, are you driving people to your store, or are people calling, or are people submitting a form? And again, it doesn't really matter if it's a call or a form, or they walk into your store to you. At the end of the day, like, you're looking for more customers. And I think, you know, the one moat that I think local SEO has that maybe other areas don't have, and I kind of shared this, is, you know, the map pack is such a rich, valuable place for data, whether it's the, you know, the, I don't know how many businesses there are on Google Maps, but it's got to be in the tens, if not hundreds of millions. And those businesses have spent so much time and effort, you know, updating and maintaining and, you know, generating user-generated reviews. It's almost in a sense like, you know, especially from the review perspective, is you do get a lot of user generated content, which, as we know, you know, like the LLMs love citing, you know, Reddit and things like that, just because it is, there's so much data there that they can pull from. So I think the Google business page will continue to be extremely important for the foreseeable future. It'll be interesting to see sort of where the search landscape shifts. You know, is it a case where Google is still the predominant player, but they're, you know, most people are now using the AI mode, or is it a case where ChatGPT kind of takes, you know, claws a bunch, or is it someone else that, you know, maybe, I wouldn't say that, you know, that's maybe not even on the radar today. I think that will probably impact things more than anything. Because again, if Google AI mode, say, wins out over ChatGPT, or ChatGPT takes, you know, a small percentage, you know, and again, this is kind of my thought, is it's probably gonna be one of those two companies. Maybe I'm dead wrong, but I think, you know, when I talk to, you know, friends, people who aren't in this space, people who are, you know, active users, they're either using Google still, and they're using kind of the AI mode and search, or they're using ChatGPT. Like, I think, you know, there's obviously Perplexity, and there's different you know, search engines that are, I guess, or not search engines, but different AI tools that are trying to, you know, I guess, disrupt search. I just don't hear about them as much. You know, I have one friend who uses Grok. It's like, you know, it seems to me that, like, those two, when I'm talking to people who are not, you know, in the marketing space, that are, like, you know, real world, working, you know, in the non-tech space, it seems to me that those two are the ones that come up. So I think it's probably going to be one of those two, if not both. And again, if Google does kind of maintain their sort of stranglehold on search market share, whether it's through, you know, Gemini or whatever it might be, I still think that the map pack will be extremely valuable from a local SEO perspective. You know, I still think businesses are going to need websites for the foreseeable future. In 10 years, maybe they don't. You know, maybe the web as we know it looks completely different in 10 years. I don't know that, you know, but that's the way I've certainly approached it. Certainly, you know, I look back to my days as an affiliate blogger and things like that, and that's not a space I'd want to be in anymore. That's for sure. So, Yeah. So I said it's hard. And I'm guessing just like everybody else, because it's changing so fast and has changed so fast in the last, you know, especially the last 6-12 months. I feel like it's probably 12 months. It's really accelerated.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I only see benefits, you know, to be honest, you know, I really see benefits, because, you know, when marketers, content creators, webmasters will stop produce content for algorithms, you know, everyone will win. You know, if you can't satisfy algorithm and you need to satisfy human beings, it's benefit. You know, for example, we made an online study and analyzed the most popular metric. Volume is the most popular metric. You know, I don't care if I get million traffic and zero sales. I care if I get sales, you know, 100 traffic, you know, better with sales than million traffic without sales. You know, the same with YouTube. You know, when I remember when my son filmed a video to get 15 million views, it's a lot, you know. I don't know how to get 15 million views, but he's asking me to pay for his bills, you know.
Not the other way around. Yeah. Exactly. 15 million views, no sales.
So I get a few hundred views, a few thousand views, but I can sell, you know, with this years. He got 15 million views with zero sales, nothing. I mean, like, it's better to pay attention to get sales, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing if you get traffic in ChatGPT, Perplexity, any other models. I love all of them, by the way. I play with all of them. I usually try different things, and ChatGPT works much better for me, but I still get good results with Grok, mostly for research. I'm not good with Gemini. I tried many times. Probably it's better for coding, but with my tasks, I can't get good results. I keep watching for that. So for me, Claude, ChatGPT, and Grok, yeah, I love all these tools. And I think it depends on the goals. If you try different models and can find which models can bring better results, why not? So you can jump with that. And today, everyone should play with AI.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. It's coming. Whether, as you said, I agree. I think it's good in general, a net good. You know, maybe it's a net bad for my job. But generally speaking, you know, and again, you know, I say that tongue in cheek, because a lot of times, you know, these changes, these shifts happen, and it just opens up new business models, opens up new opportunities, and you know, just to kind of see, just to kind of be. You know, again, as you said, just playing and testing and using these tools to see what they're capable of, you know, what they aren't capable of. And certainly, you know, from a personal perspective, I can say with, you know, 100% definitive that they have been a net benefit to my personal life in terms of how I use them on a personal level. And certainly on a business, from a business perspective too, they've made so many of our tasks that are, you know, mundane or tedious, a lot less tedious or a lot less mundane. And, you know, even just, you know, I know you've been building quite a few tools, and just even doing, you know, being able to build tools, especially simple ones, if you're not, you know, a developer, it's incredible. You know, like we've built some very simple internal tools that we use that, you know, it's great. Like, we don't got to buy another SaaS, you know, probably not good for the SaaS company, but it's, you know, it's great for us. So, yeah, so it's certainly, as I said, it's interesting, and yeah, we're certainly paying close attention and seeing kind of how things evolve. But as I said, it's predicting what's going to happen is just feels like a little bit of a fool's game, because I think at this point it's kind of anybody's guess, you know. It's hard to know.
Yeah, and I remember when Seth Godin said that content marketing is one marketing left. So I have this question to you about that, because I mean, like, I see that SEO blogging is dying. Probably, I mean, like, if you write for the sake of getting SEO traffic, probably it's not a good idea. It works today, but not sure about the future. Tim Solo from Ahrefs said that around 3 years left for that channel. So, and for example, and I think the future will be in automation. For example, I paid $60 for personal training to great coaches, you know, $60 for one training. Today, I pay $36 for early subscription in iPhone app. You know, I love this app. I get much better results with this app. More flexible, much cheaper, you know, a lot of great exercises. It can control my eating habits. It can control my health, many things. One app, $36. You know, so, and I replaced all these coaches that I need to call to them to ask, okay, can you do it on this time? You know, many things. So I replaced, this app replaced all these coaches, you know, and it saves me money. I think like automation will come everywhere. You know, by the way, this app is not AI, but it's automation. And I think like the future will be in this automation apps, software, tools, anything like that. So, and I don't remember who said that, probably Sam Altman from ChatGPT. He told that some occupations like teaching, lawyers, real estate, I don't remember exactly, all these people will be replaced by AI. What do you think about that? Do we need to think more about launching AI tools, calculators, converters, in order to replace old methods like writing a lot of blog posts?
Yeah, you know, I don't know the answer to that, to be honest with you, just because, you know, as I said, I think I agree with you. I think, you know, the 3-year time frame in terms of blogging is probably feels but accurate. Now, whether or not it's, you know, what is distribution and marketing, you know, for how does that change it? It's, you know, it's a good question. I think, like, you know, as I said, I think tools are an interesting one right now as well. You know, is there a shelf life on those too? I don't know. You know, does AI get to a point where, and I don't know exactly what that would look like or how that would play out, but you know, is that 10, 20 years? I don't know. As I said, I think just it's such an interesting time that we're kind of living through right now in terms of where the, you know, and again, it's everything, right? And as you mentioned, the automation side too, like so much of what we've seen in terms of the benefits of it all has been the automation versus the true, you know, generative AI, I suppose.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know the answer to that. As I said, I think, like, you know, to me, you know, from a personal perspective, like from like a, you know, like a video marketing and things like that, I still think that's got lots of shelf life, just because I do think you have the opportunity to showcase, you know, you as the individual, whether that's a newsletter or whether that's, you know, YouTube or whatever it might be. I think that's probably got a longer runway. You know, again, reels on Instagram, whatever it might be. So yeah, as I said, I don't have the best thoughts on that question, just because I don't think, like, A, it's not necessarily the world that I live in, and B, I just think it's such a tough thing to predict. And when I say the world I live in, I mean, again, like for us, like blogging and, you know, content marketing has never been this huge part of what we do. It's always been, you know, for some customers, like, yes, it's part of the plan and the package and so on and so forth. But I would say by and large, it's not, it makes up a minority of what we're trying to, you know, achieve for customers. Back to the point about what you said, which is like leads and sales and clients for them, right? That's what matters to them. And, you know, the content marketing side of things, where, you know, we're not HubSpot, we're not, you know, one of these companies where if you bring in, you know, a ton of eyeballs, chances are that you're, you know, your net's big enough that you're going to capture some of them just by the fact that you're serving a huge audience, right? Like local businesses are serving a local market, right? It's a small audience when you kind of compare it to you know, some of the other, you know, for instance, like a SaaS company or something like that.
Yeah, got it. Then I have my final question about just one thing. Let's summarize everything that we discussed.
Okay.
One thing that all companies should do today in local SEO. For example, if they can learn a lot of insights, but one thing very important that you can't miss.
Get reviews. I think that's the biggest thing. And to me, get reviews isn't setting up some fancy automation sequence. It's asking customers for reviews. And that's, again, that is the most important thing right now in local SEO that a business can be doing. Because every, you know, it's the easiest thing that moves the needle. Yeah. It's by far, in terms of if you're talking about the 80-20 rule, it's by far, you know, the biggest thing that a customer who has no knowledge of SEO, doesn't know anything about the Google business page, doesn't know anything about on-page optimization or link building or anything like that.
Yeah,
they can go and ask a customer for a review. And awesome. That is definitely my number one thing. That's like the first thing I tell all of our clients is like, if you're not getting reviews right now, like you need to start getting them tomorrow. And it's not a fancy email automation. It's ask your customers for reviews because they will leave reviews. People will leave reviews if you ask them.
Of course, of course. Yeah, it's trust. It's trust. Totally. And by the way, this trust can help you to win in AI search, in SEO, everywhere. And
conversion. People want, oh, this guy's got, you know, 300 reviews and they're all, you know, 4.9 stars. Great. We'll use this company.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Then it's a big pleasure to get on my show, to learn from you. I love this experience. So valuable. Get back at any time, you know, to bring more valuable insights. So for now, we can speak directly. In the future, I don't know, probably AI influencers will replace us.
Yeah, exactly. In five years, right? We're done.
Yeah, but we still have these 5 years. Yeah, let us know the best way how to keep learning from you, how to reach out to you, how to follow you.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Dan the Wolf. And that's Wolf with an E. I'm not as active as I was probably 6 or 12 months ago. You can also find me at saltwaterdigital.com. Those are probably the two best places to reach out and get in touch.
Awesome. Awesome. Guys, you can find the link to Twitter account X today in the description below, all other information. I will share your LinkedIn account, any other. So guys, feel free to reach out to them. And if you want to reach out to them, please personalize your message and let them know that you found him on this podcast, youandmiss.com. Then it's a big pleasure. Thank you so much for your time, for bringing your value. Tell thanks to your dog, you know.
Yeah, exactly. He's still losing it. Yeah, he's on a bit of a tear right now. He's been at it for about 20 minutes and he doesn't seem to be slowing down. So,
you know, my dogs hurt your dog. By the way, my dogs don't speak English. You know, they speak another language, but they understand. Yeah. They need to argue as well. So, but they're silent now. Okay, then thank you so much.
Yeah, appreciate it.